There's a story of the great preacher William Booth, who was walking in London with his 12-year-old son Bramwell. He surprised his son by taking him into a saloon. The place was crowded with men and women, many of which were drunk, and the fumes of alcohol and tobacco filled the room. He then turned to his son and said, "These are our people. These are the people I want you to live for and bring to Christ." Years later, Bramwell wrote, "The impression never left me." You don't shine a light in a place where there's already plenty of light. You have to go where it's dark.
We see a person that doesn't look like us, doesn't walk like us, doesn't talk like us, may be from the other side, we'll cross the street. How can I be light when I'm afraid of the dark?
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. Jesus set the example for how we are to reach and minister to those in our communities. This week, Charles Tapp shares the final part in his series on the promise of community by examining ways we can be like Christ and spread salt and light into the world. With his message, Follow the Leader.
Our last message, we titled Food for the Soul. We took a look at how the Word of God impacts the life of the believer and how the study of God's Word and the role that it plays in our church so that we can become the community of faith that not only brings glory and honor to God, but it develops a community that builds up, lifts up, edifies other members of the body as well. And we learn from our study in Scripture that God uses His Word as a means to sanctify His people. Again, that word sanctify in the Hebrew mind means to separate. So God uses His Word to separate us as a community of faith from the culture of this age, from the theology of this age, from the value system of this age, while allowing us to still live and remain in this world so that we can be a powerful witness to the power of God. But as I mentioned on last week, sadly, many of a believer's life remains unchanged, not only in their relationship with God, but in their relationship one with the other, because they fail to make use of this central means which God uses to bring about genuine transformation in the lives of His people. But as important as this book is, as important as God's Word is, it is not necessary for us to come to an understanding of God's existence, nor is it necessary for us to know something about God's character. Because through observation, through human observation, we can come to the understanding that there is a God, that there is a creator of this great world. The psalmist David summed it up this way. He said that the heavens, they shout, they proclaim, they declare the glory of God. You don't have to open a Bible to come to an understanding that there is a God. Who says amen to that today? But as important as Scripture is, you and I cannot, hear me today, we cannot come to an understanding of what the gospel is. And I just want to pause for a moment and take a little time with this, because many times in Christendom, we use this term gospel or gospel of the kingdom. But I'm just wondering today, how many of us, if we were just walking down the street and someone walked up to us knowing that we were a Christian and they came and asked me, what is the gospel? How many of us could give them a solid description or definition of what the gospel really is? I want to share with you this morning a description of what the gospel, or the gospel of the kingdom, is all about. Take a look at this morning. Here's what the gospel is all about. When Christians refer to gospel, they are referring to what? The good news that Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sin so that we might become the children of God through faith alone in what? Christ alone. It goes on. In short, the term gospel then is the sum total of the saving truth as God has communicated it to lost humanity as it is revealed, number one, in the person of his Son, and two, in the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, or the Word of God. That's what the gospel is. First and foremost, it is about the person and the life of Jesus Christ and how he paid our penalty for sin that you and I might have eternal life. If you take anything away from that or add anything to that, hear me today, it is not the gospel. So gospel is not doctrine. It is not dogma. The gospel is not tradition. It is the fact that Jesus came as a man, died for your sins and for my sins, that you and I may have the gift of eternal life. But here's the problem with the gospel. If you don't recognize the condition that you're in, you don't see a need for the gospel in the first place. You don't hear a lot in our church about the gospel. You hear about truth, you hear about doctrine, you hear about this and the other. But if we don't have the gospel, we have nothing. If you take anything away from it, it is not the gospel. It is not the good news that you and I can be forgiven, redeemed, and restored by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you and I accept the gospel, we become forgiven, redeemed, and restored. Even though we live and continue to live in this world, we at that moment become a citizen of the kingdom of God. So when you and I make this decision, dear friends, to accept Christ as our salvation, you're part of the kingdom of God. That's why when the disciples came to Jesus and asked him the question, Jesus, what's up with this kingdom business? Where is your kingdom? And when is your kingdom coming? Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. So when you make that decision to accept the sacrifice of Christ and his life and his atonement for your sins, you have made that opening for God to allow his kingdom, his rule, to reign in your life. We as a community of faith have been commissioned by Christ himself to spread this good news. I don't know what it is about human nature that when it comes to the spreading of good news, we will rather spread false news, fake news, or bad news before we spread good news. Oh, yeah. You know I'm telling you the truth. Just get a piece of juicy bad news, and you can't wait to share it with somebody else. Even if the person tells you, now, don't share this with anybody else. And within 5 minutes, you're on the phone. I got something to tell you, but don't share this with anybody else. And then they get off the phone. Within 5 minutes, I got to tell you something, but don't share this. That's why I learned from my mother when I was a child, don't tell anybody anything that you don't want everybody to know. But we've been commissioned by God not to share fake news, but to share the good news that our salvation is in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 24 and verse 14, Jesus gives his church, he gives us this thing called the Great Commission. You know it, Matthew 24, 14, the Word of God says, and this gospel, this good news of the kingdom will be what? preached, shared in all the world as a what? Witness to how many nations? To all nations. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not discriminate. To all nations. And then the end will come. But as important as this gospel is, dear friends, we are confronted, especially in the current age in which we live now, some very serious challenges to people accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to share three important ones with you this morning. The first is this idea of postmodern relativism, which is simply that we're living in an age where the school of thought says that there are no absolutes. What do I mean by that? That there is nothing that is for sure. There's nothing that is definite. That there is no absolute truth. In essence, this school of thought says that there's your truth and there's my truth. And that both truths can stand side by side. And if you challenge them, they will say you're intolerant. If you tell them, no, there's only one truth, there's only one way to salvation, they will say you're not intolerant. Postmodern relativism. The second challenge that we face today in getting the gospel to the world is political correctness. Some of us are afraid to share the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ because we are, listen to me, we are afraid of offending a certain group or groups. Am I telling the truth? We will cover it up. We will minimize the gospel. We will dilute it. Sometimes we'll even mute it and keep quiet because I don't want to offend this group and I don't want to offend that group. But in not trying to offend either group, we are offending the King of Kings. Because when you and I accept this gospel, I'm a citizen of that kingdom. But in an age of political correctness, it's hard to share the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ because people will tell you, no, 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 no. You're offending me with that. And thirdly and lastly, there's this thought of religious pluralism. Basically, the essence of this idea is that of all the worldviews that are going around, there is no true worldview when it comes to religion. You have your worldview of religion. I've got my worldview of religion. You can be a Christian, you can be a Buddhist, you can be a Muslim, and there's no difference between any of them. Christianity, in their minds, is no better than any of these other worldviews. And that's a challenge, dear friends, if you are a Christian. But despite these challenges that we're faced with, which, by the way, are nothing new for us, that confront our community of faith, we have been challenged to share this gospel, not with some parts of the world, but with the entire world. And in Matthew chapter 5, in Jesus' famous discourse, the Sermon on the Mount, he provides us as his followers with a remedy of how we can reach the world with the good news, with the gospel, despite these challenges that stand in our way. Now, I'm not going to take time and read it today. When you get a chance, just look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to verse 16. It is a very familiar portion of the Sermon on the Mount. For in this portion, Jesus gives his followers the role that they are to play in this world as members of the kingdom of God by using two very powerful metaphors, the metaphors of salt and what? Light. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And in essence, Jesus declares that we are the salt of the earth. And in the Middle East, during Jesus' time, when he spoke those words, primarily salt was used for two things. One, as a preservative, especially for meat, because they did not have refrigeration in Christ's day. So they used salt and they packed the meat with salt in order to preserve it. But the second reason they used salt back in Christ's day is for the reason we use salt today. And that is to add flavor to our what? To our food. How many of you are on a salt-free diet? I've got to have salt on my food. You know I love ketchup already, right? I don't overdo salt, but I've got to have salt. You ever tried eating collard greens without salt? Oh, no. You can't do it. When I used to put salt on my mother's collard greens, and by the way, she made the best collard greens in the world. But when I would put salt on her collard greens, I never said, those are the best tasting salt I ever had in my life. But what I would say, Mom, you put your foot in those collard greens, amen? Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, do you? In other words, my mother killed those collard greens by putting that salt. Why? Because it added flavor to it. Then Jesus says, not only are we to be salt and adding flavor to the world, that we're also to be light. And he describes this light in verse 16 of Matthew 5 as being our good works. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying this, that there are many who are going to fight, are going to disagree, are going to put up roadblocks when it comes to the gospel. But if you'll be salt, if you'll add flavor wherever you go, if people can see your good works, then they will see me working through you and they will have a better understanding of who I am.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Follow the Leader. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And this week, Charles Tapp concludes his series on the promise of community by looking at the example Jesus set for how we are to be salt and light in the world. As he shares his message, follow the leader.
God intends for his church to be the single most powerful force for good in the world today. And I'm just wondering if some of us asked our friends who were not believers give you a list of the top 10 most impactful organizations in the United States, how many of them do you think would have church on that list? But we have not lived up to our God-ordained purpose. And because of this, dear friends, many of us are viewed by the world, especially the church collectively, as being an irrelevant social club whose main concern it is to fill the coffers with money that has been swindled from the unsuspecting victims while at the same time making promises and claims that the church cannot keep. But this was not always the case in this country. In the late 1950s, throughout the entire 1960s, the church in the United States was known for the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it was the church in the United States during this time that spoke out against the injustices, against the poor, against the disenfranchised, against those who were judged by the color of their skin instead of by the content of their character. And they did so because of the power of the Word of God that was at work in their lives. when they read from Amos chapter 5, where God tells the children of Israel through the prophet Amos, I'm tired of your worship services. I'm tired of your assemblies. I'm tired of your music. I'm tired of your songs. I'm tired of your sacrifices. What I want from my people is a people who will stand for justice. And I want this justice to roll down like a mighty stream. And I want righteousness to flow like a mighty river. That's what God wants. He doesn't want an irrelevant social club where we only hang out to ourselves. But God wants us to be salt, and God wants us to be light. But dear friends, here's the challenge. How can you and I be salt in a world and add flavor to it like the salt does with food when it makes contact with it, when many of us are afraid of getting anywhere near the world? Wow. And how can we bring light to a world that is in darkness when many of us are afraid of the dark? Well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? We're afraid of going certain places. We're even afraid of getting close to certain kinds of people. And the only people we hang out with are other believers. We see a person that doesn't look like us, doesn't walk like us, doesn't talk like us, may be from the other side, we'll cross the street. How can I be salt when I'm afraid to even get next to you and touch you? How can I be light when I'm afraid of the dark? But let me tell you something. This age in which we live today is a dark age, and God is calling his church to share the gospel, that you don't have to remain in darkness, but you can be brought into his marvelous light. And God says, I want you to do it by being salt and by being light. And because he's not just talking about the church corporately, he's talking about us individually, which means you need to go back home to your community today and figure out a way how you can be salt. You need to figure out how you can use your good works in making the place that you reside a better place. If we're not willing to do that, there's no need for the church. If you want to join a social club, go join a social club. I'm not putting down having social activity together, but that's not the primary focus of the church. It is to proclaim the kingdom of God is at hand. In her book, The Ministry of Healing, page 143, Ellen White, in my opinion, does a masterful job in explaining how Christ reached the people of his day. Take a look at this quote, Ministry of Healing, page 143. Look at what it says. She says, Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching the people. The Savior, what did the Savior do? Mingle. That sounds like salt. The Savior mingled with men as what? One who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence, and then he bade them come and do what? Follow me. Let's just break this down for a moment. For there are several steps that if you read the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus followed every one of these, but they are progressive in nature, meaning one leads to the next. First of all, it says that he mingled with people as one who desired their good. In other words, Jesus had a genuine concern for people. How many of you can tell when somebody's being a fake? When somebody's just pretending to care about you? Jesus had a genuine concern for people. And if you have a genuine concern for people, you won't have a problem hanging with people. So he mingled. I like to put the word, he was sprinkled. See, too many times as the church, we're content to remain in the salt shaker. What good is the salt shaker if the salt is not sprinkled on its food? Jesus says it is good for nothing. Then it says, once he mingled with the people, it gave birth to having sympathy for the people. And because he had sympathy for them, the next step was he met their needs. Then it says, in meeting their needs, what happened? He won their confidence. Once he won their confidence, Jesus says, now come and follow me. Now, play this out with me for a moment. What if Jesus had just walked up and said, come follow me? What do you think would have happened?
No relationship.
What makes us think as the church we can share the gospel without a relationship? We will, many of us, be more inclined to preach 30 days for a month straight on doctrinal truth, but if the call comes to go in and get close to people, we don't want any part of that. And then we wonder why, once we share truth with people, they could care less about the truth. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. The reason why Christ was such an effective soul winner in reaching to people is because he had genuine concern for people. People were not a means to an end. In other words, Jesus didn't say, well, I got another one for the kingdom. Ha ha, chalk that up. Sometimes I wonder about the church. Do we really have a genuine concern for people and their needs, or are we just trying to get another one chalked up? What we've got to understand, dear friends, until the gospel, the good news, has penetrated our own souls, we don't need to be surprised when others could care less about what we are sharing. Matthew 25 says, at the end of the day, Jesus is going to ask, what did we do for the people? But Jesus says, I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. I was sick, and you brought me healing. But then they asked Jesus, when do we do all these things? And Jesus says, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. The gospel is not about words as much as the gospel is about a person. When God expects us to proclaim the gospel, he makes it clear that first we do it with actions. And then if we need words, we can use those. Because when people see the gospel in us, it brings down the barriers that have been placed up. So as a church, we need to follow the leader. Don't just go preach to people. Go and be with people. It is the gospel of the kingdom of God.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. And his message, follow the leader. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
Sometimes individuals, sometimes families, yes, sometimes even a nation can find itself in a mess, not because God has divorced them, but because they have divorced him.
Next week, Charles Tapp shares a brand new message to help you better understand why he may feel distant with his message, Divorced by God. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.